Storytelling and the power of creative communication. That's this week on Making Sunday Happen. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. Big news I want to share with you this week. If you've been with me the last couple of weeks, you've already heard this, but after 8 years of this podcast, we are bringing it to a very exciting close with episode number 430. But have no fear, you are not getting rid of me that easy. We're actually expanding our training platform. We're coming in with a new brand, new website, lots of momentum in the air. We are building a massive training library just for ministry leaders to help you visually communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not only launching a brand new podcast that I'll host weekly, but we're adding brand new podcasts to the lineup as well. You're going to be meeting new personalities from the team. We'll also be adding courses and webinars, books, articles, and more to the platform. So where this podcast has been more of a broad scope of whoever plans, creates, and executes the worship experience, the new weekly podcast will be called Your Visuals Matter, and will focus solely on how to visually communicate the gospel using graphics and video. So we are in production right now on season one of the show, and it is incredible. I can't wait to share it with you. We'll be sharing more in the weeks to come of what the new podcast is, where to find it, where to find additional training, and more. We are building a platform for ministry leaders, you, to help you visually communicate the gospel. If you want to reach the people you want to reach, your visuals matter. All right, that's the big news of the week. On to today's episode. I'm talking with three creatives in the space. Jason Diba is a writer and producer at Diba LLC. He is the former creative project manager at Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. He was also the creative director at Pool Spark, a creative agency that specializes in film production and telling stories. I'll also welcome Martrell Harris. Martrell is a marketing and communications strategist. He serves churches and nonprofits, extremely knowledgeable in the space. Looking forward to you hearing his insight. I'll also welcome Sarah Gerald. She is a communications director at The Belonging Co. in Nashville. Great team there at The Belonging, and she leads the communications team there. So I interviewed all three of these folks at SALT Conference with the common theme of how to tell powerful stories and communicate creatively to your congregation. So lots to get to today, so let's jump right in. Hey, ministry leader, have you ever done anything that people were confused by? I have, and that's what happened in relation to our name here at 1230 Media. We've heard the confusion every time that we've heard questions like, do you spell it out? Is it numbers? Is it letters? There's a colon in there, right? Is this a Bible verse? Is it a time of day? So, spoiler alert, we are changing our name. And here's why. It all started with the best intentions. My wife Katie and I originally wanted a name that described how our company and you do ministry. That it's not about the flash of graphics and video, it's about discipleship. So in Mark 12:30, Jesus summed up authentic ministry by saying it's when you love God and love people. Loving God and loving people is the definition of the Christian faith. It's how we walk out our faith. We couldn't have said it better, so we edited Mark 12:30 down to 1230 Media. We wanted to keep the main thing, that it was about discipleship and spiritual growth and salvation, more than just the flash of graphics and video. But as we grew, the name has been a challenge for those we serve. It's been a challenge for people like you. Well, we've heard you and we are changing our name, even though we always want to help see changed lives and it not just be about being flashy. Our brand new name will ultimately help everyone remember it and create a tighter focus on what we really do well. I know you're ready to know, but our team is not quite ready to reveal our name and our new branding yet. There's a ton of work to prepare for it to be a very clear, organized launch of our new brand. We are so excited to share it with you. That will be coming in the next few weeks. But thank you so much for letting me share this with you. I want to give you a brand new free mini movie for your time. Since we're working on our identity, we thought it would be fun to give you this brand new mini movie all about finding our identity in Christ. It's at 1230media.com/identity, and I want you to use the promo code identity. Again, 1230media.com/identity, and just put the word identity in the promo code box at checkout to get this video completely free. In a matter of weeks, I'll be sending out a video announcing our brand new name and logo. It is incredible. And you'll be excited to hear how the change will help you visually communicate the gospel. I'll see you then. Hey guys, hanging out with Jason Dibo. Jason, where do you serve?
I am a writer and producer, and I'm involved with many different organizations. One in the church world that I'm especially involved with is the Passion Movement. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have heard of Passion Conferences. I also live in Atlanta. My wife's on staff at Passion City Church.
Were you on staff there as well?
I was on staff for a little over 6 years, and so was involved in that ministry really closely. And now I'm still involved helping with the creative development, but I'm also working with a few other organizations.
So off the rails question for you. Okay. You ready? So what is a misconception? You know, I've served at two mega churches. Yep. And sometimes there's misconceptions of, oh, they have all the money. They have all the volunteers that they need. Yeah. They never have any problems. Life is great.
Yep.
You obviously know that that is not true as
it's
well as
true.
I do. So what are some misconceptions that people have maybe put on Passion that...
Yeah. Well, especially in the volunteer space, I'll address that one specifically, is that getting people to come on board and believe in what you're doing is as hard at a big church as it is at a small church.
Yep.
And it requires the same amount of vision casting, the same amount of investment into them personally as a community. It's still difficult regardless of if you're big or small. It's an ongoing thing that you have to pastor and you have to think about really strategically. So I wouldn't say it's any easier. If anything, it's harder when you get that big in order to think about personal, like just knowing everybody's name.
Yes, you're pastoring more people, so how do they not be a number? So, how are they, you're being intentional.
Absolutely. And again, if you live in a big city, you might have a larger population to draw from, but the work and investment it takes from a team leader is just as difficult as if you had a small church in a smaller city.
Yeah, good point. All right, so you are doing a workshop here at SALT all about storytelling.
Yes.
So give me a little bit about that. Maybe define
the
word storytelling for us.
Yeah. So the way that I define it in this particular breakout is it's a sequence of tension to resolution. If you don't have those two things, you don't really have a story. You either have a comment or an observation.
Right.
But a story, of course, is it's imbalance that's seeking an equilibrium, or it's a question that's seeking an answer. Mm-hmm. And so I give that basic framework. And one of the things I talk about in this breakout is how every organization, even down to every department, or if you're outside of the church, every company or product or service has a very basic story at play about what they do. The example I give in the breakout, to give you a little sneak peek, is about shoes, how like the universal tension with shoes is that we don't want to be barefoot all the time. So all the shoe companies in the world have come along and said, here's our answer, buy our shoes. That's the basic story of Nike and New Balance, and every single shoe company in the world has that basic story. And yet you and I have never heard a commercial where a shoe company says, you don't want to be barefoot, buy our shoes.
Right.
Because that basic story is simply too practical. It's too utilitarian. So in this breakout, I'm telling people, trying to show them some ways that they can move beyond the basic story of what's at play in their organization and move towards a better story. The stories that move us emotionally and speak to our intelligence and speak to people on a more universal platform instead of the specifics of the practical platform.
Okay, so bring that into church world.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we want them to come to know Jesus.
Yes.
Is that too basic?
Definitely not too basic. The way I usually talk about it in the church space is that our answer, our solution is Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the tensions, you know, that side of the storytelling, the way we get into it, the way that we engage people and bring them to that solution has kind of an infinite variety of different ways, and not all of them are equal. Mm-hmm. And so the more that we can think about what are the different ways we can engage people in the way that we set up the tension, the way that we craft the storyline to bring them to that solution, those might have a different effect than if we keep it either too vague or too generalized. One of the key points I have in my breakout is that, and something that churches tend to do, is that they, after an event or something like a camp or something like that, they want to tell 10 stories. I'm like, you don't have to tell 10 stories. It's sometimes better if you have 15 minutes to tell stories, it's better to tell two good ones mm-hmm. in 15 minutes than to mm-hmm. tell six okay ones. Mm-hmm. And that's just a part of that. It's like, yes, the solution, Jesus, never changes, but the way that we approach and craft our stories to lead people to that solution can be totally different.
Good.
And that's where I think the art of storytelling comes in.
So who are the storytellers in a church? Now, obviously, the pastor
yes.
has probably the largest chunk yep. of time on a Sunday morning
yep.
to share stories and to craft that.
Yep.
But obviously, he's not the only storyteller mm-hmm. on staff, even volunteer.
Yep.
So who are the other storytellers?
Yeah.
On
Definitely the film team
right.
has a huge... I mean, they have, in some ways, the most traditional form of storytelling. They can right. actually tell narratives. You know, they can get a character and they can create scenes. They have so many things available to them. But right. also, you know, the marketing team or the communications team, mm-hmm. The way that we tell stories through copywriting, through the social media that we craft. I think even... I like to encourage people thinking about like the giving moments in a church service.
Yes.
It's like that's a storytelling moment that we have to think about and craft if we want to engage people in knowing that the gifts, the sacrifice they're making is playing into an incredible story
right.
in their church.
Gives them their why.
But it'd be so easy for us just to miss that opportunity completely. So I think there's lots of different right. avenues in the church for great storytelling to happen. They don't all look the same. And the skill set might be a little bit different, but there's a lot of opportunity.
Good. So what are some tips for those storytellers? How can we mm-hmm. really make an impact when we share that giving story
yeah.
or communications copy, whatever yep. it might be? Give me some tips there.
Let's see. When it comes to telling maybe a true story, one of the biggest tips that I'll give churches is always do a pre-interview. Like okay. if you're filming something or even doing something for social media, do a pre-interview first over a phone call or something and get all the details of someone's story. And that way, when you go into the film shoot or go into an interview or you bring the person up on stage, you're not doing exploratory work.
Right.
You can't do that. Like the thing that can sometimes kill a story is too many details. We talk about how details are, you know, they're the spice and like, you know, we love details and things. But I'm like, in storytellings, though, like details can lead you astray from the point. And so oftentimes one of the very practical tips that I'll give storytellers in crafting their stories is like, hey, you need to get the big story whittled down to the most key components. Mm-hmm. There needs to be one central message that usually comes through a story. So even though it might include a story, there might be a component of generosity in it or a component of healing in it or a component of, you know, any number of really great things. Telling all of them could actually dilute the main message that you want to come through. Mm-hmm. So this is the skill of editing is really what it
right.
is.
Yep.
It's
exactly.
like we have to know how to edit our stories in order to let the most important thing have the most important place.
And it still makes sense.
Yes.
And get our message across.
That's right.
What about communications copy? What are some tips on bringing that, condensing that to where it's a good story, I get it,
yep.
but it's short.
Yeah. I think definitely having a revision process just in general, like who on your team or who in your circle knows how to edit again,
right,
who can take a look at maybe what you've written or what someone else has written and give some of that critical feedback in order to do that. I mean, we think about all the things that we read outside the church, you know, newspapers and in major publications, they all have editors.
Right.
Like, there's no writers, journalists who are just writing it and just posting it to a major publication without
right.
multiple people giving the perspective of, like, that just doesn't make sense, or that doesn't get to the point, or that's too long or too short.
So is that that's obviously a different skill set of maybe that reporter, that pre-interview, that going out,
totally.
That exploratory work,
yep.
and the editor.
Yep.
Is that two different positions? Can that be the same talent?
I know a lot of writers are good editors, mm-hmm. but I think it's less about can one person do both and more of should one person do both.
Right.
Because even if you're really good at it, there's going to be things that you're so locked into that space, or you're too familiar with a story
right.
that having a second opinion, a second set of eyes would be really helpful to creating the best story.
Right. Good. Well, give me a parting shot. If I can take anything away from storytelling, how to tell stories better, either on Sunday or not just Sunday, but throughout the week online, how we're interacting with people. Give me one good takeaway.
Okay. Here's just maybe a really small technique, is to use bookends. Set something up at the very beginning of your story that at the very end of your story, it's going
to
circle back around.
Yeah.
That's a very traditional storytelling technique. You go all the way back, I mean, thousands of years old. Like, you think of all the old classic heroes' journeys. They all start at home. They go on an adventure. They slay the giant. And then they come back home.
Right.
And just that simple bookend technique is something that's time-tested, and it can really add just a little extra to the story.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Jason.
Yep.
Appreciate the time.
Thanks so
man.
Much. I appreciate it.
Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Martrell Harris. Martrell, tell me a little bit about your title. You do marketing for churches, right? And it's all freelance, your own thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a marketing and communication strategist for churches and nonprofits. Lead worship as well. So
awesome.
Oh yeah, so we do it all. Absolutely.
Cool. All right, so you're doing a workshop here at SALT all about how to creatively communicate.
Oh yes.
For the gospel, and especially for the physical environment, physical worship experiences, as well as digital.
Yep.
So kind of get me into some of that content.
Well, you know, I think over the last 24 to 36 months, the entire world has shifted in so many ways. And in that, our models had to shift as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important that we're equipped as the local church to be able to go back to our cities, our respective towns, and go back and minister effectively. And I believe that prayer is a weapon, but our communication is a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
How do we
Good.
Do that, right? And so my workshop is on creative communicating Christ.
Okay.
So how do we do that in an effective way? How do we do that and be efficient? Because a lot of times we experience teams that are very small.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes budgets are small.
Yep.
So we have to work through that, right? Because the mission is so big and we have to get it out.
So walk me through some of the points that you share in the workshop.
Yeah, so we talk about the 8 touch points of communication. We talk about social media. We talk about our website. We even talk about down to body language and our verbal
Good.
Communication versus body language communication.
Good.
How all of that, because I share in the workshop, everything is communication, right?
Good.
From beginning to end, from the first time someone encounters you on social media, all the way to the time they sit down and finally get seated in your sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is communication.
Yes.
And then what happens after that is also important as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Everything is the experience.
Everything.
You know, so not just the auditorium, not just the worship, everything communicates. Everything is part of that experience.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you there. All right, so let's kind of drill into at least a few of those 8.
Yeah.
So let's jump into your first one. You mentioned social media.
Oh, yes.
Give me some strategies for communicating effectively using social.
One of the things that I recommend when it comes to social media is what I call content categories. And that's categorizing the types of content that speak to the culture of your ministry. So it's important that you identify what the culture of your ministry is. I had a professor tell me in undergrad, she said that your demographics are like a cereal box. On the front, we all know what we love, but on the side is how we make up that particular cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the side of your box, when it pertains to your ministry, What makes up that box of cereal? What is inside of it? What makes up, what are the ingredients that make your church what it is? What differentiates you from the church that's even down the street, right?
Right.
So how do we then categorize our content on social media so that we can effectively communicate that? So one of the ways that I recommend is getting content categories. If your church is really big in music, having a music category, having a sermon category, having a culture content category, and that way you speak to every part of what your ministry does well.
So obviously Instagram does that really well.
I can
put it in blocks like that. How would you do that on Twitter, Facebook, other platforms?
Yeah, well, even if it's behind the scenes for your own internal use, right? So for your communication teams, that you have your strategy behind the scenes is, how do I categorize this content to where it makes sense to the end user?
What tools do you use to do that?
Yeah.
Just regular old spreadsheet, or are there apps that you use?
There is a particular one that I use. It's called CoSchedule. And CoSchedule is incredible. If you don't have it, highly recommend.
Okay, so CoSchedule and things like Buffer, Hootsuite are very similar. Mm-hmm. You're saying that CoSchedule will let you categorize?
Yep.
Okay, where a Buffer or Hootsuite will not?
That is correct. So
or
on CoSchedule, you
like
can
that.
Create certain groups and categories. You can you can even manage your assets. So if you have a large team that's producing your content, so maybe you have a videographer, maybe you have editors, maybe you have photographers, they can actually send that content into CoSchedule, and you can control where those...
And just pull in from your library.
You can control exactly where it lives. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's keep moving through your eight. I love the body language one. So talk about that some.
And
that's obviously not just physical space. It's digital videos and stuff like that.
Digital video, the entire nine. Body language is so important, because sometimes it's that nonverbal communication that really makes the difference. So I speak a lot about in the workshop, your parking attendants, right? People don't think, but the first person that interacts with the person that comes to your campus is typically the person that's parking cars. Mm-hmm. And so their body language, their level of excitement, their level of enthusiasm, it matters. Because if all of your social content screams, we're excited, we are loving church, we're a kind church, we're a place where everyone belongs, and then your parking attendant isn't living
screaming
up to that. Especially on those cold and hot, or if it's really hot outside, cold outside, you know, weather and all of those things, or if it's raining, right?
Yeah.
How do you communicate from a body language standpoint that says, this is who we are as a ministry? So it's important that every person, and this is why it doesn't matter if you're on stage or if you're behind the scenes or if you're in the parking lot, every person matters and everything is communication.
So how do I do that without being either way over the top, too dramatic?
Oh, yeah.
Or... you know, completely boring. How do I find a good, you know, non-creepy middle?
A non-creepy middle. I like that analogy. Yeah. No, I think it's really just being yourself, you know, and identifying people who genuinely speak the language of your ministry. They genuinely have a heart and they have a synergy with your ministry. And I think putting people who are genuine out there, out front, talking to your people is going to be very pivotal for you.
Good. So it really does matter. I think that sometimes churches or even volunteers think, oh, I don't matter. I'm just a volunteer.
So far,
absolutely. Yeah. It matters a great deal. Okay. So you talked to website.
Yes.
That was one of the three that you mentioned. So tell me how I can be better effective on my website and how I communicate.
Yeah. Website is so important, because the website is the only space you own. Right?
Right.
Social media can come and go.
Yep.
Social media rules can change.
Right.
Social media can shut down. And though your website can, your website is the only space that you totally control.
Right.
Right. And your social media should be leading people to your website. So it's important that when they go to your website, that it speaks the same language as what they saw on social, but also that your website is something that is clear, that is concise, and that is informative.
Okay. Tell me about photos. You know, you don't want stock photos that don't show your people or are totally off from what your congregation looks like, things like that. Give me some tools like that that I can make sure I'm communicating effectively.
Yeah, I believe that everyone should be building a stock library for your church. Even if for temporarily, if you need to hire a photographer to come in and just grab stock photos to build your own library.
Great point. Because if you hire that person for even two Sundays, two weekends,
you can get so many photos in 2 weeks.
You're right.
You can get so many photos.
Yep.
And you want to make sure that it's authentic to you. Stock photos are okay, right? If you're looking for a cross or if you're looking for something that's pretty generic that you want to use and incorporate. But when it comes to people, you want to use faces that are familiar with your congregation.
Right. And I think that's especially true when you're showing the entrance to your church, like people walking in your church.
Yeah.
If that's a stock photo of people that are stock people, walking into a church that's not yours, that does not show your church.
And
at
that
all.
May that photo may be the way I know I'm at your church and I'm at the right place, right? So if I'm a first-time visitor and I've
that's
like,
right.
Oh yeah, that's the door that I saw in that photo, and I connect right. back to that photo I saw on your website or on right. your social media platform.
Right. Right. 100%. Okay, so walk me through more of those eight.
Yeah, so we talk about body language. We talk about our greeters, how important mm-hmm. greeters are, how important it is to have even a check-in station for first-time visitors. That's a touch point of communication that's so important that I can't stress enough.
Because, walk me through that one.
Yeah, so with your visitors, you want to make sure that it's a place where they can go and get more information, where they can connect, almost like a hub that they can feel comfortable to ask crazy questions or mm-hmm. questions that they may not feel comfortable asking other people about. Mm-hmm. It's also a place where you can introduce them to other aspects of the ministry. So the people that you have stationed at your check-in stations for your first-time visitors should be well-informed about the ministry, right? So when we're talking about that, we're talking about childcare. If you see someone yes. that has a child, how to direct them there, yep. how to escort them there, what the yep. protocols are. Yep. All of those things are so important. I use an example in the workshop where I talk about if you think of someone who goes to the gym for the first time and they walk in and they feel intimidated because everyone around them knows their way around. Mm-hmm. They know how to use the machines. Mm-hmm. They know the language. Mm-hmm. They've got their protein shakes. They've got right. all these things that if you're new to the gym, you're very unfamiliar with.
Right.
Imagine coming into a church and maybe it's your first time in a long time or your first time ever.
Good.
And having that experience when you walk in that everyone knows this language, everyone knows this layout, and I'm totally unfamiliar. That visitor station is going to be an opportunity for people to feel like they're at home mm-hmm. and to ask the questions that they need. And Good. You want to create that.
I think one important thing with that is signage to that. Or yes. either, so are you thinking kiosk? Or are you thinking behind a desk? I mean, it could be either, but I think either way, the signage to get there is incredibly important.
Signage is one of the eight. So you're coming to the workshop. You want to help co-teach this?
I mean, okay. I would do that.
We can do this together.
We can. I'm reading your mind.
But signage is so important. You're exactly right. Because imagine going to the airport and not knowing where to go. It is so important that you have signage, directional signage, how to get into the worship center, where the child care is, how to get to restrooms, just basic things like that. All of that plays into our communication strategy of making people feel warm and at home and welcome.
Good. So bring it all together for me. Why these eight? If I do all of these eight, what are the results I'm going to see from that?
Yeah. It's one of those where you want to make sure that people that come into your church, especially for the first time, but even those that are recurring, your members and partners, you want to make sure that people feel like they have a place, right? And one of the ways to make people feel uncomfortable is to have not prepared for them, right? If I invite you to my home and I say, mm-hmm. and you get there and I don't have anything to eat, I don't have anywhere for you to sit, I didn't prepare for you, you're not going to feel comfortable.
Your stuff's everywhere.
My stuff's everywhere. It's
Montreal,
in boxes.
Why did you leave your stuff everywhere?
Yeah, you know, my laundry's on the couch.
I know, right?
All of those things, you're going to feel like I didn't prepare for you. Right. But if you felt welcome, if you felt like there was a space for you, just for you, when you arrive, you're more likely to come back. And what we do in church is that our conversion, what we do is creating conversation and dialogue and community with people. We're building community. That's what we're doing here at SALT. We're building community. And when you build community, that invites people back to the table over and over and over again.
So one more question for you. We've talked some of those about the physical space.
Yeah.
And the website and social are in the digital space. But talk to me about church online.
Oh my goodness.
Our church online experience and how some of these can, you know, translate to the online.
Church online is not just an option. It's almost a must have at this point, right?
You have to have it.
You've got to have it. How you stream, how you connect with your streaming audience is so, so important. And one of the things that I talk about in the workshop is talking about even having streaming personalities, people that talk directly to your streaming audience, creating opportunities, virtual spaces, virtual meeting spaces for your online congregation to meet your pastors, mm-hmm. to meet your staff pastors, your leaders, to create that face-to-face connection. Because again, we don't want to automate church to the point where people become just numbers and likes and shares.
Right.
We want people to remain people. And we only do that when we build community, even if we have to do it online.
So I think we're hearing that over and over again, that even though it's in a digital space, it's real people.
They're real people.
Behind the keyboard, behind the screen, behind the VR headset. Mm-hmm. It's a real person.
It's a real person
there that we need to reach. So, well, man, tell us how we can get in touch with you. How, if a church wants to use you for communications, consulting, strategy, how can we get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Well, you can follow me on all social media platforms at Martrell Moment. That's M-A-R-T. RELLMOMENT. Follow me at Martrell Moment. Shoot me an email, info@martrellmoment.com. Visit my website, www.martrellmoment.com.
Awesome. Thanks so
Absolutely.
Much, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Hey, guys. Hanging out with Sarah Gerald. Sarah, you are the communications director at The Belonging Co.
Yes, I am.
So give me a little bit about what your position entails, what you do week to week.
Absolutely. So I get the absolute joy and honor of leading our team of videographers, photographer, design, social media, marketing, copy.
You're over the whole cheese. It's all you.
You know, just a little bit.
To you. That's awesome.
No, we have a spectacular team. And Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we have a lot of great friends over there, a lot of great people that we both know.
Yeah.
What a great team and great church.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit. You've done a workshop here at SALT all on communications and stuff like that. Kind of walk me through that a little bit.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I believe, or what I've seen, is a lot of things, no matter what you're doing, comes from knowing who you are and who you are in Christ.
Good.
So with communication, it starts with knowing that you have something to say. Like God has placed something in you, particularly the gospel, and for your congregation or for your church or whoever it is, that you have something to say. And number two, trusting that someone needs to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
So with that, knowing that there are people waiting for you to step into that and to actually do what God has put in you. And the third thing is, especially dealing with people, knowing that people receive communication in different ways. And so will you be that empathetic person, that humble person, that bridge in between what needs to be said and how it needs to be received? And that is generally what I get to do and what I see a lot of communications directors get to do. We get to be that bridge between what needs to be said and how people receive it.
So you talked about identity some and how we need to find our identity in Christ. I think a lot of, especially communications folks, church staff members, take a lot of their identity in their position or in what they do and not in Christ. You know, I am the communications person. That's what I am. No, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, so talk to me a little bit more about that and what you shared as far as identity goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hilarious for me in particular. I would say I never wanted this job. I very much say I'm the Jonah in this situation. I ran
from it, huh?
as long as I could. And it's with anything, is when you surrender to Jesus, it's you surrender everything and he gets the final say. And so this position came to me and it was very much a, will you say yes to this? I'm entrusting you with this. Will you say yes to this? So in everything, I say with a very humble heart, I am coming to this knowing that I can only boast in Jesus and not necessarily what we are accomplishing or getting done. That is just the sprinkles on top. At the end of the day, I am surrendered to him and the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some other things that you talked about in your workshop that you were encouraging people to do?
Yeah, we talked a lot about practicality because I also believe in actually giving people tools to do what they're tasked to do. So for me, coming into this new position, not knowing a lot, wanting to learn. And so it was very much a, hey, I need to do this masterclass on Adobe, or hey, I need to do this masterclass on marketing and social media, or what, learning this preset on a camera, or et cetera. Just really learning how to be humble and identify the things in you that you might not be an expert in. Yes, having team around to fill in those gaps, but also will you humble yourself to learn those things so that you can communicate in a way that they need to hear as well.
So how do you balance that, making sure that your team has the tools to do their job, but also being conscious of budget, being conscious of other things like that?
100%. So with budget and church in particular, I mean, we always come from the heart of anything we purchase is purchased with tithes and offerings.
Right.
So just knowing, oh my goodness, are we stewarding this well? And just having that, you know, Holy Spirit check,
right,
I call it. But then knowing, okay, what do we need to do to get the job done, but also how can we be creative in doing what we want to do?
Right.
And so especially, I mean, in the world of social media, we can get a away with a lot with less.
It can be more raw. It can be more
100%. 100%.
Super polished.
And just identifying, hey, what if we don't spend this specific money on a camera, but we spend it on a light to make the preset look even better than it would have on just this normal camera. Yeah. So just finding little ways to fill in the gaps.
Good. So what does your team look like at The Belonging? What are some of the things that maybe are on a staff member? What are on a volunteer? How do you utilize your team?
Oh, my goodness. My favorite example of this is Sundays and Tuesdays when we have service. We have the best team. So our room on a Sunday looks like the photography team sitting there, design, film, and social media kind of against the other side of the wall. And we have already sent out communication on Thursday before that Sunday. What your deliverables are, our brilliant digital media specialist has created a deliverables list for each team that works together. So we are communicating. Hey, photography team, we'd love this photo with this lens and this aspect ratio, and communicating that to the designer. Hey, can you use this photo to have this quote graphic on top of it so that it can be the cover for this reel that our film guy has just made?
Right.
So it's very symbiotic, a lot of communication, a lot of fun. We get a little rowdy sometimes, but we just love getting to tell the story of what God has done.
I can tell that about you, that you're going to get rowdy a lot. All right, so it's super loud in here.
Yes,
we're breaking down at the
breaking down assault
at the end of the conference. So, give us a parting shot here of maybe something that I can do in communications this week. If you're talking to new communications folks, or even folks that have been in the field for a while, give me something that I can do this week, next week, that would really change the game as far as communicating well.
You are tasked with telling the world what God has done at your church and your service. And so I would ask you, or task you, or invite you to identify one thing. Just ask you or your team, what was the one thing that happened this Sunday that we have to tell the world? And how, when you've identified it, ask yourselves, how do we want to say it? And just go from there.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was lovely meeting you.
Hey guys, as we are wrapping up production on this podcast, I thought it would be fun to kind of go back into the archives of some folks that I've interviewed. And we did this five questions segment for quite some time on the podcast, just to have fun and to also ask some very pointed questions about the topic that we were talking about on that particular week. So this week, I'm going to share with you a five questions segment from my buddy Ben Stapley. We were talking about some great things and how to use your visuals for your worship experience. So here's my buddy, Ben Stapley. Number one, what is the biggest...
You did this before. I hate this.
Yeah. I put you on the spot.
You gave me... you're deviating off the roadmap, Carl, and I don't like it.
Well, I didn't prep you for these. Here we go. What is the biggest encouragement that you're seeing with pastors and communicators right now?
We talked about it up front. I'll come back to it. It's sabbatical. Okay. The fact that they're taking mental health, they're taking emotional health, they're taking physical health seriously and honestly and respond. Now, we're doing it out of desperation, right? Like, oh, I'm depleted. That's the most encouraging thing. I hope it's not a flash in the pan. Like, okay, I'm good for the next 20 years and I'll throw that Messiah complex back at myself. But hopefully it kind of configures the way a lot of lead pastors think about rhythm, rest, and boundaries.
Number two, what is one of the, flip it on you, what is one of the biggest mistakes that you're seeing right now in communicators?
And this is probably at large, that a lot of communicators are forgetting about their online audience and they are no longer addressing them. And we've, any of the grounds that we made for that hybrid model, that on-site, that online model, it's been dissipating over the past 12 months. I think that's a discouragement. And I think I'll leave it there. I won't be too down.
Okay. Debbie down. Number three, who would you, just random, who would you trade places with for a day?
Other than yourself? Gosh, who would I trade places with?
I can't fit my head in the screen, Ben. Hang on a second.
Keep it coming, Ben. Don't
Come
stop.
On. Man crush, man. Good job, Carl. See, I don't need a review. Okay? I'm just kidding.
You're doing it all perfect. I'd probably trade places with anybody in the who works for Google. I just love every product they put out. I think is great. I think a lot of things that I've heard about their workplace mentality, how they create white space for people, how they allow them a certain percentage of their work time just to work on their pet projects and the side projects, but those projects ultimately become some of the keystone services they provide. It sounds like a really healthy environment, a very collaborative, inspirational environment, which I'd love to be there, learn from, and apply as much as I can in my own environment.
Number four, what is something that that people don't know about you? Hidden talent.
I am a fraternal twin. Most people don't know. And I have a younger brother, an Irish brother. I don't know if that's a derogatory term, so I apologize if it is. Probably is.
You're being too divisive right now.
Sorry?
You're being too divisive right now. Yeah, I'm giving you constructive. It's your review. Way too
now, if we had,
politically.
If we had someone who was of Irish descent in this conversation right now, they would have flagged that for me. And yes, I have a younger brother. Without a specific title attributed to him, but 18 months. And so the three of us are similar in age. And if you were to see a picture of all three of us, you would say me and my younger brother are the twin.
Wow. I did not know that. Yeah. All right, last question. What quality do you admire most in pastors and leaders?
I think it's when you're around them and you just sense that they love Jesus. And I say that because it's a pretty amorphous and subjective thing, but there's people that you're around, and then when they talk about Jesus, you're like, man, like you see him, and you love him, and you follow him, and you walk with him, and it's just really clear the way you talk, and I want to be more like you, and so I appreciate leaders who are great with their organizations, their visions, and all that stuff, but man, like when I get around a leader who just clearly exudes a love for Jesus. There's a staff member that I used to lead, and I just tell them that all the time. Whenever I'm around you, I fall more in love with Jesus because it is clear that you love him. Can I take you out for coffee? So that's probably the biggest characteristic that I like being around with leaders.
Awesome. Well, man, it's an honor to call you friend. I love the fact that, I mean, we only get to see each other once every few months or so. But I love the fact that we are friends online, you know, the text messages, and just I love the fact that we can use technology to be closer. We have that, and I appreciate that about you. And just honored to know you, and just so proud of your ministry and what you're doing for Jesus, man. Keep after it.
Thank you so much for having me here, Carl.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Well, hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out this week. MakingSundayHappen.com is the website. All archive episodes of the show are there. And next week, I'm talking to my friend Alex Infegian all about how music in your worship experience is a tool, but discipleship is the goal when it comes to your worship team. Well, go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.